Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome here to our afternoon service at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. And also welcome to those who watch over our live streaming and listening to our FM signal here in town. Please open your hymnals on 224. I know whom I have believed. 224.
Father, we are thankful that we can know who we believe in. We're thankful that thy word is available to us, And that thy word clearly tells us that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only Savior of mankind. Thankful that we can know that we have turned to thee in repentance and believed in thy Son, because thy word tells us who he is and what he provides for us. We're thankful for thy Holy Spirit, who works in the hearts of individuals to bring them to salvation. And we pray this afternoon for anyone listening that's not saved, that they might listen to thee today and turn to thee in repentance and trust in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone for their salvation. We thank thee for providing us a place to meet. We thank thee for those that have come to the service today. We thank thee for the rain that we had. We thank thee for the many blessings to us. And we pray that we would be faithful in making thy name known, that others could come to know thy peace and forgiveness in these days of grace. We ask that thy will be accomplished here. May we glorify thee in all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 388. Have thine own way, Lord. 388. To 414. 414. I am a soldier of the cross. 414.
Well,
a friend to grace, to help each him to God. Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, so fortified by thy word.
Pastor?
Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, we're going to read there from verse 1 through verse 3 of that chapter. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 1, it says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, or the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this afternoon again for thy word, thankful again for the counsel that we can receive from thee. We realize in our world we have many individuals who set themselves up as counselors, and they charge a fee in order for people to come to them and listen to them. We're thankful that we have a God who doesn't charge us a fee to give us his counsel. Thankful that we can come to thee and we can find the real answers, because we have the true God, the God of creation, who knows us, who knows everything about us, and is able to answer every need that we have. So we pray this afternoon that we would be willing to receive counsel from thee. As we have read these words, I pray, Father, that thou wouldst help us, each one that's listening, that each one would examine himself and ask thee to examine us, that we would be careful that we're not fools, but that we are those that are willing to receive instruction and willing to be taught of thee, to glorify thee, and to know thy blessing. So we pray that thy will be accomplished here. May we honor thee, may we allow thee to speak to us, and that we might serve thee faithfully with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is Don't Entertain a Fool. Don't entertain a fool. Wisdom and discernment are important. Too often, people shoot off at the mouth without wisdom and discernment. Some people may say some true things, but they say them in a way that is out of order. They do not know when to be quiet. Jesus knew when to speak and when to be quiet. For 3.5 years, he taught the people. He spoke openly to people, and he had many things to say. He rebuked the false teachers, and he gave clarity to the word of God, which had been distorted for a long time by the Pharisees. However, when it came to his trial, he had very little to say. Pilate was amazed that he had little to say. But Jesus had already taught the people. He had given them the truth, and they didn't want it. So he wasn't going to repeat it again. He wasn't going to entertain their foolishness. And that's something that we can learn too. People need to learn. We need to learn to listen. Someone tells us something, we need to listen. Not have to have it repeated over and over and over again. We need to learn to listen. That's a careless attitude when we don't listen when someone is talking to us. So, wisdom, God's wisdom is important. And we need to know and have discernment in our lives that we apply that wisdom to our hearts. So the first thing that we see in our text today is don't pamper a fool. Don't pamper a fool. Now the word pamper means to try to soothe them and try to entertain their foolishness and try to sympathize with their foolishness. You don't do that with a fool. Empty praise is worthless. It says in our text here, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. A fool doesn't appreciate honor. A fool gets a fat head when you try to honor him. But he doesn't appreciate honor. He uses it in a way that is derogatory, in a way that is not good, not helpful, and not a benefit to him or to anyone else. And so we see here in this passage that there are two things that God uses to speak about this matter, snow and summer. That's not normal. Snow in summertime when the crops are growing, it may melt quickly, but snow in summertime would be heavy. It would be heavy because the temperatures would not be that cold. And you notice in the middle of the winter when it's minus 30, if it snows, the snow is very fluffy. But if it's around the freezing mark and it snows, that snow is very heavy. It's carrying more moisture in it. And so snow in the summertime is going to lay down the crop. It's going to make the crop lay flat to the ground. The snow may melt again, but that crop may be too far along and it doesn't stand up again. So then you end up with a crop now that's laying down and it's much harder to harvest. And because it's laying down, the air can't get under it, and if the ground is wet, that crop may even rot because it can't get the air to dry it out. So snow is not something that a person wants to see in the summertime. It's not something that we need in the summertime. And God knows that. And so he doesn't generally send us snow in the summertime. And then he talks also here about rain in harvest. And harvest time is when the farmer doesn't want to see rain. Because rain on a crop will lower the grade of the crop. So instead of a number one wheat, you might end up with a number two wheat. Or if it's too much rain, you end up with a number three wheat. Some of the crops may want to sprout because it's too moist because of the rain on it. You can't harvest the crop when it's too wet. So rain is not something that the farmer wants when it's harvest time. That's the time when the farmer wants to see no dew. He wants to see that he can get out early in the morning and go late at night because he wants to get the crop off. And God knows that too. And God generally has designed things that way. When the people asked for a king, one of the things that God sent them in harvest time was a thunderstorm to show them that he was not pleased with what they had asked for, what they had demanded, really. Now, the word fool that we have in our text is found 70 times in 69 verses in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for fool that we have. It's found 11 times in Proverbs chapter 26. So 11 times this word that's translated as fool is found in Proverbs 26. And we can look at those verses. It says in verse 1, we read it already, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Verse 6, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Verse 7, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 8, he that hideth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 10, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now that word means fat. Properly it speaks of fat. So the fool is someone who is puffed up with pride. But it also means someone that's silly, someone that's arrogant, and someone that's a dullard, a simpleton. So it's a person who, it's not that the person doesn't have a brain, but it's that the person has not learned the importance of using his brain in a proper manner. It's like in our world, we have people that are called comedians. And they're talking on the news recently about how that comedians are going out more now because they're not scared of the virus, and people are going to listen to comedians again more because they're not scared of the virus. But a comedian has nothing worthwhile to say. He's a fool. He's someone that uses derogatory words to try to make people laugh. And that's not a wise person. That's a fool. And there are many people like that. There are not just the ones who are labeled as comedians, but there are many others who they have nothing good to say, nothing worthwhile to say, but they have a lot to say. They make a lot of noise. And so here in this verse, it says here that honor to a fool is like snow in summer and rain in harvest. It doesn't benefit anything. You don't help the fool. You help the fool when you rebuke him and help him to see, no, that's not acceptable. That doesn't work. You need to stop that. That's how you help a fool. Not by laughing at him, not by entertaining him, not by trying to learn from him, but you help a fool by showing him that's not acceptable, that's not pleasing to God, it's not pleasing to anyone. And so that's very important to understand that. Then the second thing that we have here is pay no heed to empty words. Verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so their curse causeless shall not come. Now, what's God saying there? Well, a bird by wandering, what does he accomplish? Where does he go when he's wandering? If he has no purpose, no goal, where does he go? He's just wandering. As a swallow by flying, what does a swallow do by flying? Does it cause any damage to anybody? It's not like an airplane with a bomb on it, flies over top and drops a bomb. Now, if you're not careful when you're watching birds fly by, they might put a little bit of present on your head or on your shoulder if you're not careful. But they can't do any harm to you. A bird by flying by or by wandering isn't going to hurt you. If a bird were to attack you, that's different. But this is talking about a bird that's just wandering or just flying by. It's no harm. And that's what it's talking about. So the curse causeless shall not come. So that's talking about there are people in our world Voodooism, for one thing, voodooism believes in putting out curses. And they have their little dolls, and they will put pins into the doll. They'll say this doll is a certain person, and then they'll poke pins into that doll. And they think by doing that they're going to be hurting the actual person. But God says that the curse causeless, it is not going to come. It's empty words. We know in the Old Testament, when David was fleeing from Absalom, there was a man that met David on the way as he was fleeing. His name was Shimei. And Shimei was cursing David as David was fleeing from Absalom. Joab's brother wanted to kill Shimei. He said, "Why should this man be allowed to curse the king?" The king says, "Leave him alone. Maybe God sent him to curse me. Leave him alone." And so they left him alone. But David wasn't afraid of what that man had to say, because he had nothing worthwhile to say. So then, after Absalom was killed, and now David was being brought back to Jerusalem, and there came Shimei again. Only this time he wasn't cursing. Now he was coming and bowing down before the king and asking for mercy. He wanted the king to forget about anything that he had said. So Shimei, right there, he proved what God says here to Solomon. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. You see, Shimei had been cursing the king without cause, and he had no power behind his words. God wasn't telling him to go and curse David, and God wasn't going to honor Shimei's curses. They were just empty words from the devil to try to interfere and intimidate some other person, in this case, David. So as David is returning back to Jerusalem now, and Shimei comes out again and asks for mercy, again, Joab's brother says, "Why should this man live? Kill him." And David says, "Leave him alone." You see, David wasn't afraid of Shimei. He wasn't afraid of Shimei's words. They were nothing. However, David did realize that Shimei was wrong in what he was doing, because you don't curse the king. You need to honor the king. And so, when David was old and he had appointed Solomon as the king, he instructed Solomon to look after Shimei, to deal with him regarding his cursing of the king. And so Solomon was a wise man when he began. And so he told Shimei to move into Jerusalem and build a house there. And he told Shimei, "I want you to stay in Jerusalem. And the day that you leave the city of Jerusalem, you know that you're going to die." Shimei agreed with Solomon, and he built a house in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he had servants, so he must have had some money. So he had servants, and I don't know what he was doing in Jerusalem, that he needed servants, but he had some. But the Bible tells us that on a certain day, one of his servants fled. And so Shimei disregarded Solomon's words that he had spoken to him. You see, he thought Solomon's words were just like his curse. No real meaning to them. And so Shimei went after his servant to bring him back. Solomon was told about that, and Shimei was put to death. See, Solomon's words were not vain words. They were not empty words. They were not words coming from a fool. Now, verse 2 doesn't mention the word fool in it, but it speaks in the same context as the other verses. So it's still talking about the nature of a fool. Fools, like the voodoo people and others who give out curses, they're meaningless. But you see, when God cursed Adam in Genesis chapter 3, and he cursed Eve, and he cursed the serpent, they were not meaningless. Those curses that God gave were necessary because he was judging man and the serpent for their sin. And so, those were not causeless curses. But when you and I, somebody may get mad at you and then they'll say they're going to pronounce a curse on you. Well, that has no weight. That means nothing. Now, there are a lot of people, like people in Voodooism and other false religions like that, they think there's a lot of power in a curse. They're scared. And so then they'll run to their priest or whatever, and they'll ask him to pray or do something to remove that curse. There are people, when they buy a house, they will have their priest come in and bless that house because they think that house has a curse on it. Maybe someone buys a house and somebody died in that house before they bought it. They will have someone come in to try to remove the evil spirits and remove the spirit of that dead person so that house isn't haunted. There's many people that have very foolish thinking. But you see, the Christian doesn't pay attention to that because it has no meaning to it. There's no such a thing as a haunted house. There are people, many people, who play around in the devil's territory, and they are oppressed by the devil. There's no doubt about that. And there are people that are possessed by the devil. But that's different than when God causes a curse on someone. But here, the teaching that Solomon is giving, directed by God, is that we shouldn't concern ourselves. We shouldn't think that just because someone pronounces a curse on us that it has any kind of weight on us. What we need to concern ourselves with is, are we under God's curse? And a Christian is not under God's curse. He's been delivered from the curse of sin. But lost people are under God's curse. And so we need to have some discernment. We need to understand what is it that we should be paying attention to, and what is it that we need to just dismiss, and help people to see that they're wasting their time in trying to send out a curse on someone who knows the Lord and someone who's seeking to live for the Lord. And the third point that we have is that fools only know one language. Fools only know one language. The Bible says here in verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. So, a horse, there are times when the horse needs to be whipped. Now, I know that in today's world, we have horse races, and those horse races are set up for gambling. They're designed so the person can put money on that horse and which horse is going to win the race and by how much is he going to win the race. And then the racers, they are all signed up in a pool. And whoever bets closest to the whatever it is, they get the jackpot. They get the money. But that racer, that jockey on that horse that's racing, he will have a whip. And if his horse is not running as fast as he thinks it can and should, then he'll whip that horse to try to get that horse to go a little faster because he may speak to the horse and the horse isn't responding, so he'll use the whip to try to enforce the words he's using to get the horse to respond. And people are complaining that's cruelty to animals to be whipping that horse to make it run faster. Well, horse racing is not a good thing. It's not something that Christians would be involved in because the gambling and everything that's involved in it. But even when you're working with horses, there's times when that horse doesn't want to listen. It's an animal. And so sometimes you have to whip that horse. You don't whip the horse to beat it to death, but you just snap the whip on it to get its attention. And then it will do what it's supposed to do again. God says a whip is for the horse. It says a bridle is for the ass. So the ass can be a very stubborn animal at times. And so you need some way to keep that ass going in the right direction. And so that's what the bridle is put in the mouth for. When you pull on that, you pull right or left to get the horse, the ass to turn, or you pull with both of them to get it to stop. That animal, that hurts in the mouth. And so that animal's going to respond to that because it's not listening to your words. And so therefore you have to use a little more persuasion to get the ass to listen to you. That's the normal way things work in the animal world. And God says in the same way, you have to use a rod for the back of a fool. Because the fool doesn't listen to instructions. He doesn't listen when he's told something. And so the only way you're going to get that fool to listen is when he feels it. He needs to feel it. That's why we have so many people in our prisons today, and that's why the liberal side of people, they say, well, we've got to let prisoners out. We've got too many prisoners in there, and certain groups of people are, there's more of them in prison than other groups. Well, that's because certain groups of people just demonstrate that they're more foolish than other groups. But the trouble is that our prisons today are more like hotels. And they're not punishing the prisoners, but they're entertaining them. And so people come out of prison just as bad as they went in, if not worse. They're more intent on committing another crime because prison used to be hard labor. Used to be you went to prison, you had to do hard labor, and the intent of that was to help you to see you don't want to come back to that place. You want to avoid that place. So how do you avoid that place? Well, you learn to do things right. And that's where they used to have real chaplains in prison, real people that were saved, who could help the prisoners to see that the way to turn things around is to turn to God and to let Him change your heart, and then you'll respond differently. But a fool doesn't listen to reason. And really, in reality, every young child is a fool. They don't listen to reason. You can try to talk all you want to a one-year-old or even up to a two-year-old, probably. You can talk all you want. It's not going to help. They're just going to do what they want to do. They have to feel it to understand that what you're saying is what you mean. But if that child responds properly to that, by the time they're 14, 15, and so on, you don't need to be using that force anymore because they have learned that they need to listen to what's being said. So it's very important to understand again that we want to help people that are fools, that are not listening to God, that don't want to follow God's way. We want to help them to see that the way they're going is not acceptable. Not just because I don't like it, but because God doesn't like it. God didn't make man to do as he pleased. When God made Adam, he gave Adam work to do. He told Adam to name all the animals. Adam wasn't a sinner at that time. But God told Adam to name all the animals. Now, God could have named them. He could have named them all by himself. But he didn't. He told Adam to do it. He gave Adam something to do. We need productive things to do. Adam, later on, he chose to do something as well, but he chose to do something that was contrary to what God wanted him to do. He chose to eat from the forbidden fruit. You see, God gave him instructions and he told him not to eat from the forbidden fruit. But Adam decided, I know better, I can do this. And he found out that wasn't a wise move at all. He became a sinner. God had to punish him for that. In chapter 4, we see that Cain did not respond to reasoning. God spoke to Cain. He told Cain what the solution to his problem was. He told Cain what was going to happen if he didn't listen. But Cain just decided he was going to do what he wanted to do. He didn't like the way God was talking to him. He took offense to that. And he decided, I'm going to kill my brother. I don't like that God didn't take my offering. And he took my brother's offering. The solution is to get rid of my brother, and then God will have to accept my offering because there's nobody else around. That was a very foolish decision to make. God doesn't have to receive anything from us. And so then Cain killed his brother, and then when God spoke to him about that and told him what his judgment was, then Cain says, "You're not being nice to me. You're not treating me fair." That sounds very much like a lot of criminals in our world today. That sounds like a lot of children in our world today who don't like the way their parents treat them. And many parents are intimidated by their children as they demand that they be treated in a certain way. Our social workers that we have in our country, they are wasting taxpayer dollars trying to encourage fools to remain as fools. And they themselves are fools as well. They're not listening to wise counsel. They're getting their counsel from other fools. And they are creating a world filled with fools. And we have many of them in our world today. Silly people. People who don't want to be taught. They don't want to be instructed. They want to tell others what to do. And they are simple people. Simple in the sense that they don't want to be instructed in the right way. So God again here, Solomon directed by God here, gives us these words of counsel to help us again to know how we can function properly in this world in which we live. And these are very important words that he has given to us again in regard to identifying a fool and helping the fool to see that what he's doing is not right. We don't need to tolerate this kind of stuff. We need to help people to see that it's not good. It's not good to see snow in the summertime. The skier might say, "Oh, great, we can get our skis out early this year." But you're not going to eat your skis for very long. That's not going to feed you very long. You're not going to eat the snow and be fed either. So even though the skier may rejoice and say, "Oh, this is great to have snow in the summer," any person with a brain that's using their brain would say, "Uh-oh, what's going on here? How come we're getting snow in the summertime?" They would say, "That's not a good thing." And the same thing when it's harvest time and it's raining. The farmer, you know, we often talk about farmers, that's all they do is complain. That's about different things. Well, that's true a lot of times, but farmers understand that you need to have dry weather to get the crop off. I mean, we're not farmers right now, but we have a couple of times we have experienced where the rain in the harvest time, our potatoes have rotted in the ground. I know one year we were trying to save them. It was so wet that I went in the garden and I sunk, several inches into the ground with my feet because it was so wet, but I dug the potatoes out. We had them on the lawn, we put them on a plywood, and we tried to dry them and thought, well, if we get them dry, they'll keep for the winter. Most of those potatoes rotted because they were so waterlogged that there was just no way to save them. Even though we got them out of the mud, we couldn't save them. So rain in the harvest time is not what the farmer wants. It's not good for the crop. And if it's not good for the crop, it's not good for us, because what do we eat in the wintertime if everything is rotten? So there are things that we need to understand. These are not the normal cycle. It's not the way that it should be. And when it is different, we wonder, okay, what's happening here? And so honor is not seemly for a fool. It's just totally out of God's design to honor a fool. Just contrary to God's design. You don't honor a fool. You rebuke a fool and help him to change. And then the second point that he makes here, again by way of review, just that wandering bird. He's wandering by, he's got no place to go. But he's not hurting you. That swallow that's flying in the sky, he's not going to come and dive bomb you and kill you. He's just doing his job. He may be eating mosquitoes and that, but he's not bothering you. And the same thing with the person that wants to put a curse on you. It has no bearing. So what? The guy's just a babbling fool. He needs to see, you're not getting anywhere with this. You're not scaring me with what you're doing. So we need to try to help that person to see that, you know, you'd be much wiser to repent and get saved, and then you could honor God instead of wasting your words on stuff that doesn't mean anything anyway. And then the third point that God makes here is that we need to understand that fools, you can't reason with a fool. They need to be taught, and they need to be taught in a way that they'll listen. And how do they listen? Well, it says here, rod for the back of the fool. Need to get their attention. They need to understand this behavior is not good. It needs to stop. Not too many people like to be beaten with a rod every day. So it has to stop. And God says this is how you help the fool to stop it, is by getting their attention. Once you get their attention, then you can start to instruct them. But until you get their attention, you're not going to get too far. So there's an order. There's a way that things need to be done in order for the progress to be made in a person's life. And again, God wants us to be productive people. He wants us to prosper, as he told Joshua. He wants us to have success in our life. And that success comes when we know the Lord and when we follow him. And that success doesn't necessarily mean money. It doesn't necessarily mean things, but it means knowing the peace of God in our hearts. And God wants us to have that. So for me as an individual, these words are important for me to understand how I can be a productive person in God's economy. And for me as an individual, it shows me also how I can help others to be productive in God's economy. So I'm not going to entertain a fool. I'm not going to laugh at his foolishness. I'm going to try to help that individual to see, you know, you may think that's funny. You may think that's smart. That's the way to go. But really, you're just proving your ignorance of God, your ignorance of truth. And you're wasting your own time and trying to waste mine. And I'm not interested. So we need to learn to help people. We need to help people to know the way of blessing, God's blessing, and to be able to help others as well as they learn to do what is good and right in their own lives. So again, the solution is to be saved. That's where it starts. Be saved. Know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and then serve him according to his will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this afternoon for these words of wisdom that we have. How important it is for us to understand that we have a God who created us to be productive, a God who created us with a mind to be able to think. We can make choices. And we're thankful that we have thy word, that we can know how to make wise choices. We don't have to go through life fumbling and trying to figure out and reinvent things. We have thy word. It tells us everything we need to know. And so I pray that thou wouldst help us, that we would be careful that we're not fools ourselves, that we are listening to thy word, receiving instruction, and that we can help others to see the importance of the truth as well, to know thy forgiveness and blessing in their hearts and lives. We thank thee for this opportunity. We pray that thy will be accomplished in each person that's listening. Anyone that's lost that's listening, pray, Father, that they might see the importance of receiving instruction, of listening to thy word, and of allowing thee to work in their hearts that which is well-pleasing in thy sight. For those that are saved, that we would also see the importance of receiving instruction, that we can grow in thee and be a help to others, that they might know thy peace and truth as well. So we pray that thy will be accomplished. May we allow thee to direct us in all that we say and do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.